Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. And I'm glad you're here. Kenneth Crozen is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Kenneth is back. He's an attorney and a partner at Foley & Lardner, an outstanding law firm in the Washington, D.C. area. Ken is an intellectual property attorney, a patent attorney, as they used to call him. He's a guy that, as I mentioned in the previous segment, many of you hear me talking about the perspective on how we're changing the way we leverage assets from fewer physical assets to more digital assets, more intellectual property. And Kenneth is a guy who did that research, and I always give him credit for, well, for years I didn't know who did it, and then I finally found out, and now I give him credit for it all the time. He's our good friend Ken Crozen. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
It's good to have you back. Thank you, Ken. I'm doing great. I hope you are. Ken, one of the things I've done quite a bit on over the last several years is report on what's happening in China with China experts. I've got a number of China experts. One of my new China experts, actually two, is, you remember John Nesbitt of Megatrends?
Sure.
Well, he and his wife, Doris, have now become China experts. And he was on my show. He and Doris were on my show just a couple of weeks ago. And so I've talked to them about China. Ted Fishman is one of our China experts. And they all tell the story about the good, the bad, and the ugly about what's going on in China. But for the most part, they're both pretty... I don't want to use the word I think the Nesbitts are very impressed with Chinese. I think Fishman is just kind of awed by the raw power that they have, but it's definitely a force to reckon with, isn't it?
Absolutely. There was an article a couple of days ago in the paper as to how the Chinese this year had gotten something in the order of, I think it was 560,000 patents issued.
Over a half million patents.
This is Chinese patents during this past year, which is the number one country in the world,
compared to our number, which is how much?
Our number is somewhere in the 300,000 to 400,000 range. I don't know if they published the final statistics for 2009,
right,
but it's a pretty significant jump. And you know what? What's really interesting was that for many years, people used to think, well, the Chinese didn't have intellectual property. They didn't have really good technology.
They didn't have to. They would steal ours.
They would steal ours, but they were sort of thought of as a country that could do the sort of low-level manufacturing.
Right.
But I can tell you, I led a delegation from the American Intellectual Property Law Association in China a couple of years ago, and we went around and met with a number of large Chinese companies, electronics companies, information technology companies, and chemical companies, and it's pretty impressive. I mean, they're not sitting on their haunches. They've got excellent universities to train these engineers and scientists, and so they have a real recognition that technology and intellectual property, which flows from the technology, is important to the growth of their economy.
Well, there are a couple of things that we need to point out, I think, about that country compared to ours. They have over a billion people, and so somebody could say, well, you know, yeah, they've got that many people. They should have more patents than we do. Well, of course, the majority of their people are not the kind of folks who would be getting patents. They're out in the country, and not to minimize them at all, but they've got a lot of folks who are not part of the new tech. But having said that, their middle class alone is the size of our population.
That's right,
They have more advanced students than we have students.
Or I remember years ago, there would be a Chinese, the bright Chinese students from would come to the U.S. to get trained.
Right.
And now what you're finding is that they're training their own. They don't they don't really need to rely upon our advanced technology anymore. I mean, they're still coming over here, but they're doing it themselves.
Well, they are coming over here for some things, because I know some schools are coming over here and getting business education. They're getting MBAs from schools that I know of in the United States, but they're getting it remotely. They're not coming over here to learn. They're pulling it out of here in a remote, in a virtual way, and then getting their degree from over here. But one of the things I want to ask you, Ken, is there's something else going on in China that you and I know about that doesn't happen in the United States, and that is state-supported innovation. How many of those 500-plus thousand patents wouldn't have happened had the government not supported them? What do you think?
That's a very good question. You know, a lot of the patents that are being granted in China now are to private, I'll call them private companies. Of course, nothing's totally private over there, but They're really investments made by those companies in getting the technology. The state is behind them, but there's definitely been a shift. I don't know what the statistics are on actual state funding of technology or state funding of intellectual property innovation, but what I can tell you based upon my trips over there has been that you really get the sense that private enterprise has been paramount in the development of their technology.
Well, now, I believe that they are building some enterprise. A quasi-enterprise economy. It's not just a communist economy, and I believe that. But I tell you, Ken, I have to discount those numbers that you gave us. Now, I believe your numbers, but I have to discount them somewhat the way I think we should have discounted Japan back in the 80s when we thought they were going to take over the world, and then we found out that a lot of their businesses and their banks were propped up by the government. And then now we know Japan's been in a two-decade funk, and economic funk. And so I have to discount those numbers as I know more about how China operates their economy. Is that a fair assessment? And I want you to answer that when we come back after these messages. Think about that a little bit. Ken Crozen is our guest. We're going to take a quick one, folks. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ken Crozen is with Foley & Lardner, a law firm in Washington, D.C. We'll be back. Stay with us.
So keep it up. Quench my desire. And I'll be at your side forever.
Little Heartland music bringing us back. John Mellencamp, ladies and gentlemen. 23 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and that's my website, too, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance, and lots of stuff there that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes, anywhere in between on any topic under the sun. We got something you can read or listen to or ask a question. Check out my blog, subscribe to my newsletter, lots of stuff there, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to, if you're on Twitter, you can follow me there, at Jim Blassingame. Ken Crozen is our guest. Kenneth is an attorney and a partner at Foley & Lardner, a law firm there in D.C. He is an intellectual property attorney. And that's what we're talking about. We're comparing some of the things that are going on in China and the United States. And Ken, as we went to the break, you had mentioned earlier that it looked like China had maybe as many as 30 to 40% more patents than we did in 2009. And so my question was, you know, shouldn't we discount that when you understand that how much of their work is underwritten by their government? And I think probably at this moment, maybe more than we know. And shouldn't we have discounted shouldn't we discount this kind of the way we should have discounted the impact of of Japan back in the 80s? What do you think, Ken?
Well, I guess an argument could be made about that, Jim. But there's another thing that I think you ought to take into consideration. That is that In the U.S. now, a substantial portion, I don't know if it's 50%, but it's probably pretty close, of the U.S. patents are obtained by foreigners. Scientists, inventors from other countries, whereas in China, the percentage of foreign-held patents is much less.
I'm surprised there are any allowed.
Yeah, and so what that tells you is that a lot of what's going on in China is homegrown.
And are you saying that some of the maybe a large portion of the patents that we have in the United States are Chinese patents that came from someone who's Chinese?
Well, there are some Chinese, but there's a large percentage of Japanese companies.
Are these original patents, or are these patents that were originated in some another country, and then but now they're doing it like the international tour with that patent, and America is one of the stops?
Well, it's more the international tour, but the important fact is that the patents are owned by foreign entities.
Right.
So you've got a very high percentage of the technology that's really owned by foreigners.
What's the impact of that? What's your assessment of all that?
Well, it just sort of I think underscores the fact that the domestic innovation is falling off. This last couple of years has really been kind of tough on R&D expenditures, and that's sort of the bottom of the barrel when it comes time to allocate corporate resources. And if you cut there, you're not going to get the kind of new technology developed and the intellectual property that flows from it. So,
when you say foreigners, are you talking about some guy from another country, or are you talking about multinational? Have you distinguished that?
Well, a lot of it is multinational corporations, but the corporate headquarters for these multinationals are not U.S. multinationals.
Right. It's not IBM and Ford. It's some foreign country.
And Nissan big European companies. All those companies are investing in U.S. patents on this international tour, as you called it. But the fact is that the inventors, the guys that are doing the work, are not native-born U.S. or not U.S. citizens. They're
outside of U.S. On an economic stand, from an economic standpoint, people could say, well, that's good that they wanted to put their patents, register their patents here in the United States. That means they're going to use it and they're going to grow jobs and that sort of thing. But it also means that American inventors will be foreclosed from filing their own version of that, doesn't it?
That's right. I mean, if somebody else gets that invention, you don't get the opportunity. So the U.S. Inventor is not going to have that invention.
Mm-hmm. So you're concerned, the bottom line, it sounds like your concern is America, from an engineering standpoint, from an innovation standpoint, you think we're falling behind the rest of the world?
No question.
Mm-hmm. And you attribute that to what?
It's lack of investment in research and development.
How about the decline in our education system and growing engineers and mathematicians and physicists and that sort of thing? Anything there?
That's part of it. I remember several years ago, back when Japan was up there, there was a comment made by former Governor Lamb, I think it was, of Colorado, who said that. In the U.S., we train 10 lawyers for every engineer. And
yeah.
In Japan, they train 10 engineers for every lawyer.
Exactly. I believe that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been hearing about the concern about lack of investment, lack of lack of our education system producing the kind of folks that we need to be innovative and to grow our economy. What Ken's reported today is the manifestation of all that as it stack ranks against foreign countries. So it's something to think about. It's real, isn't it, Ken?
Absolutely, Jim. It's a problem.
Yeah, something we got to think about. Hey, Ken, give us the website, please.
My firm's website is www.foley.com.
All right, foley.com. Thanks, Ken, for being here. Thanks for the report. See you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Kenneth Crozen, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too after these messages. Stay with me.
Stop walking, couldn't stop turning it over. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.